Hey, it's Jeremy with the Christmas Tree Farming Podcast out here in Central Kentucky. Today is the 23rd or the 24th of July, and wanted to give you guys an update. It's been really hot here. We did finally get some rain, luckily, but it was a little bit too late, as I talked about in my previous podcast. The field 3, which we planted in the spring, we're probably going to replant that entire field. It's probably not worth picking and choosing which ones to replace. That field, we planted about 400 trees, and we're gonna replant probably close to 400 trees in that one. The heat was just too much, and it's a new field. Did not irrigate it. Probably had 3 weeks of no rain and 95 plus temperatures, and it pretty much killed everything that's in that field, save one or... Right now, it looks like there's a couple rows that I'll probably leave and just spot replace, and then, but the rest of those rows will probably just completely redo the rows. Most rows only have one or two trees that are alive, sad to say, but I do have a couple rows that have that I actually had the larger stock that over half of them are still alive, so we'll replace those. That piece of ground is not my best piece of ground either. That's a place where we actually had a pond and we covered it in and filled it with, you know, topsoil best we could, run some cover crops on it. So, kind of worst case scenario is bad, not great ground and severe heat without rain for close to 3 weeks. So that's what we're going to do. We previously had orders coming in already for this fall. We do plant some in the fall, and some I just transplant into larger containers and we store them over winter and, you know, have them available in spring. So we're going to dip into what we have coming for fall and then what's in the greenhouse to replant that 400 to 500 trees, and then at the same time we're going to be planting another 400 or 500 that we actually were planning to plant. So this fall we're going to be planting more than we intended, but we'll get that field back up to snuff, and hopefully weather will be a lot more conducive for growing these fir trees. All of my other fields, or I say all my other fields, but the two other fields that I have don't have a lot of death, so luckily pretty good. I had some spot trees that we replaced in the fall, and the ones that we replaced in the fall, I lost a lot of those, but the ones that had already been in the ground for over a year or a year and a half, they're all fine. So it was a bad year, bad 365 days for starting trees here in Central Kentucky, combated with, we got some transplants that were really shocked looking and didn't get any good favorable news from the grower about that, replacing them or anything. So, you know, you live and you learn, and you mark somebody off the list that supplies you trees and you move on to someone else. So most of the stuff that we received last fall, we probably put in 300 trees, and we got maybe 200 from one grower. One box was really good, was fine, but one box was really shocked. Looked definitely stressed out. The grower had said, you know, hey, my fertilizer guy messed up, you know, I'm not sure. But either way, they did not, you know, we brought it to their attention and they said, check back with us. And we checked back with them and let them know, like, hey, you know, over 100 of those, of those 200 died. And I got, you know, a story about how bad their summer was and this and that. So anyway, moving on. We got the shade cloth this month. We got the shade cloth put on the greenhouse, and that was much needed. I adjusted the water cycle to accommodate that now. I really wanted to get the shade cloth on probably a month ago, but I couldn't because we didn't have it yet. Just like everything, you know, it was hard to get one that size, but I did eventually get it. Got the shade cloth on. Now, instead of watering every day, or I should say every night, we're watering every other day for a little bit longer, but every other. And based on moisture in the greenhouse, I think I'm probably going to be able to go to every 3 days watering that same amount each zone for about 40 minutes. I can tell immediately getting that shade cloth on that the trees are very happy about that. As hot as it is outside, the shade cloth does a lot of good. What I've been doing these 2 weeks, spraying and mowing. Wait till July 15th and we start band spraying. So I've been band spraying pretty much every day in the evening or first thing in the morning. Trying to get ahead of these weeds. Weeds here get out of control. We made the mistake last year of waiting till August to do the band spraying, and that was too late, so we're getting on it now. I didn't realize, just something I didn't know a lot about, but yellow nut sedge, basically everywhere we get a good kill off in these rows, the band yellow nut sedge comes back. Well, when you spray with glyphosate, or you know, whatever, we use glyphosate, it might stunt the nut sedge, but it does not kill it, and it does not reduce the size that much. Here in mid-July where I'm at, nut sedge is 16 inches tall. I mean, it's really tall. And if you get, you know, if you get undersized transplants and your transplants are barely 12 to 16 inches, the nut sedge will cover up your transplants, and that's a big time problem. I know someone had said something to me, kind of like, you know, what's the big deal? You know, nut sedge only gets about a foot tall. Like, well, here it gets about 16 to 20 inches tall. And for us, the big deal is during drought conditions, it drinks a lot of water. So if you have yellow nut sedge in your rows and you get drought and you're not irrigating in certain areas of your farm, you know, that's a huge cause of death. Transplants, they get choked out. Not as much airflow, you know, you do get a little shade from it. So that, I guess that is a positive, but I'm told the yellow nut sedge drinks a lot of water. That's why it looks so good. When it's competing with that seedling in this heat. So, you know, just a bad deal. So I got my band spraying done. And then, you know, I truly thought glyphosate, if applied properly, was surfactant, would knock it nut sedge down, but it doesn't. You know, I know in the Christmas tree herbicide guide it listed as poor, you know, control. It's very poor here, to almost non-effect. Like, there's no effect. So went to the internet. I think we posted something in the Real Christmas Tree page on Facebook, just kind of a Hail Mary, like, hey, what's everybody using, when you using it? And so we are given, I forget the name of the stuff, and that's bad because it's a podcast, but it's the generic version of Sedgehammer. So I didn't get Sedgehammer, but I got the generic version of it, which is about 50% cheaper. It's like Halo Sulfaxarin. It's the same active ingredient. Anyway, it comes in a tiny bottle. The bottle costs way too much money, and it comes in a bottle about as big as an ibuprofen bottle. But you only apply about a gram, 0.9 gram scoop to 1 gallon of water, you know, roughly. So I'm just backpack spraying that. I did that last night and today, this morning, and I got all of my areas that had rows that had nuts edge problem, I got it all sprayed. So I'll be able to report on that. Hopefully it controls it. I'm trying to do the best I can to get everything sprayed as much as I can. Then, you know, post Labor Day, we'll get the tractor back out there and spray, you know, over the top. But again, everything I read about the sedge control stuff is, you know, it's not tested over the top, so I'm not going to be testing it over the top. I'm going to add that to my list of things that I need to do, and sedge control is going to get done band sprayed, you know, midsummer, and it won't be sprayed over the top like our pre-emergent and other stuff that we do in spring and fall when the trees are dormant. Even when they're dormant, I might test it out on just a couple trees, less desirable trees, just to see what happens post Labor Day. As far as maybe that, but honestly, probably not. Trying to get everything good. We're going on vacation. Last year I went on vacation and I didn't get everything mowed and sprayed right before I left. So when I came back, I had a nightmare on my hands because we were gone for about 10 days and, it was out of hand. This year I'm in much better shape. I feel like probably 1,000 times better. I'm going to come back, hopefully, and I'll probably need to mow, you know, if it rains enough. But I don't think we're going to be losing any trees into the weeds this year, because our weed control has been pretty good. My new fields, I could definitely tell that I didn't get the fall kill done, and I didn't get the grass established. So I mentioned it last time, I'm moving up my timeline on when I need to do all that stuff. But ultimately, I'm trying to get it so that I get the grass established so that I can kill everything off prior, you know, to planting. Glyphosate kill off strip prior to planting. That way, I don't have a bunch of weed seed coming up in the spring that I didn't get sprayed with glyphosate the fall prior. Anyways, I hope everybody's doing well. Stay cool, and I'll see you guys later.